Exodus chapter 20. We are in our series called Honoring God in the Ten Commandments. You're going to need to find Exodus chapter 20. If you didn't bring your Bible, that's all right. There's a red hardbound book in the pew in front of you. Go ahead and grab you one. There is also Korean, if that's your choice. There's also good apps on your phone and things, but I like paper. I like hearing the rustling of the leaves. I know I'm old school. So pull up your Bible, Exodus 20 and verse 12. If you found it, say amen. Amen. Let's read it out loud together, please. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now you'll find that 39 years after this giving of the law at the foot of Mount Sinai, God spoke through Moses and reiterated the Ten Commandments, and he did not contradict, nor would he. He is God. And you'll find this mentioned again in Deuteronomy chapter 5, if you've got your Bible handy. The fifth book of the Bible is Deuteronomy. That's why we call it the Pentateuch, the first five written by Moses. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16, you will find the fifth commandment mentioned again. If you found it, please say amen and read it with me. Amen. Here we go. Honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we love you. We are thankful to be in your house. Thankful, God, for all that you've done in our lives. Now, Father, speak to us from your word. Help us, O God, to honor you by honoring our parents. And Father, we ask that as we keep these commands, God, you would be glorified in our lives. If there's one watching on the internet right now or here on campus that has not trusted you as their Savior, may they do so today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's interesting. The Ten Commandments, people say to me, they say, well, they're old. You know, yeah, I admit they're ancient words written on stone, but they have timeless truths. And they are not arbitrary, meaning they're only good for a certain location or time. No, they are universal laws. And God gave them to us. And, well, why did God give us the Ten Commandments? Well, he gave Abraham a promise that he would be saved by grace through faith. But why did he give him the law 400 and some years later? To show mankind just how sinful we are and how much we actually need a Savior. The Bible is one book in its unity, and the fact that it's always been a book about grace and about God saving from grace through faith. But the law shows us what our sin is and how we need a Savior. So as we look at the fifth commandment, the biblical in numerology, biblical numerology, the number five is grace. It says here that this is like the centerpiece of God's law because it comes at the beginning of the second section of commandments. Now, again, you have the thou shalt nots at the front, and that's how we honor God, and then we honor God by in our relationship to mankind in the second section of the fifth commandment. So we go back to Exodus chapter 20. You find Commandment one, of course, is thou shalt not have any other gods before me. This to do so is to deny his omnipotence and who he is. Thou shalt not make any graven images. That's your second one. That denies his omnipresence. How do you take a invisible, universal, or infinite being and try to depict them in a finite way? It robs him of his deity. And then number three, we have thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We will honor not only his authority and his person, but we will honor his name. And then we find the fourth commandment that we're to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. We're to honor his creation. And we talked about that last week. Now, the next six commands, the first four dealt with our relationship vertically. Now, it deals with our relationship horizontally with mankind. And when we honor, like we're going to talk about now, honor our parents, we're actually honoring God because he set up that authority structure in the home. Today, look at verse 12, honor thy father and thy mother. This is the commandment that God gave us to honor our creation, how we came into this world. Now, remember, God created the home long before he created the nation and the government. He created the home long before he created the church. This has been his method It's always been the home. Now, this isn't just an Old Testament principle. It is reiterated in the New Testament. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians, all the way toward the back of the book, Ephesians 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. Now, it's after 1st and 2nd Corinthians and Galatians. You'll find Ephesians. If you find Hebrews, go back. You're too far. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3. This is also a New Testament. This is not just an Old Testament thing. Look at Ephesians 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I like that. It's right. It's right for us to do this. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Brothers and sisters, our homes are in trouble here in America. They're in trouble. I saw an article here a couple months ago, and I pulled it out knowing I'd need it. It says, what in the world is happening with our kids today? I think it started when Madeline Murray O'Hare complained that we didn't want any prayer in our schools, and we said nothing. Then someone said we'd better not read the Bible in school, the Bible that says thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and love your neighbor as yourself, and we said nothing. Dr. Benjamin Spock said we shouldn't spank our kids when they misbehave because their little personalities would be warped and it would damage their self-esteem, and we said nothing. So thus we agreed with him and thought the Bible was outdated. Then someone said, our teachers and principals better not discipline our children either. And the administrator said, whoa, we'd better not touch these kids when they misbehave. We don't want bad press or we don't want to be sued. And we said nothing. Then someone said, let our daughters have abortions if they want. And we don't even have to tell their parents. And we must have thought it was a grand idea because we said nothing. Then someone else said, let our sons have all the condoms they can use and have all the fun they desire. And they don't have to tell their parents. And we said nothing. And then some of our top officials said, it doesn't matter what you do in private, as long as you do your job. And as long as we have a job and our economy is good, it doesn't matter what other people do in private. And now we ask ourselves why our kids have no conscience and they don't know right from wrong and it doesn't bother them to kill people. Probably because if we think long and hard enough, it says, we'll realize you reap what you sow. It's kind of a hard principle, but I'm 52 years old and I remember when a lot of that happened. Adrian Rogers said, has the nuclear family been bombed out? The Bible says that a sign of the disintegration of human society is a picture of the last days. Romans chapter 1 and verse 30 said that men will be backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. So today, the idea of the fifth commandment flies in the face of what we see in modern society. Back in Exodus chapter 20, it says, honor thy father. If you didn't use the word honor this week in a sentence, it means to revere, to respect, to treat with deference and submission, to perform duties to. It means more than just obey. It means a love and a respect for them, an honoring. Because when we honor our parents, we honor God. In Isaiah 58 and verse 13 and 14, the Bible says, God will bless us if we honor him by following this command. He says, and thou shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I'll cause thee to ride on the high places of the earth. You've heard me read that verse. That verse is talking about if we obey God in this area, we're going to honor God by doing it. Because quite honestly, there are no perfect parents. You know, if you remember, there was a perfect parent who had innocent kids and a perfect environment. And look how that turned out in the Garden of Eden. And the truth is, we sometimes will allow people to, we'll allow ourselves to kind of get beat up over this idea that if our kids don't just turn out just the way we think. But we're to honor our earthly father because he is a type or a picture of our heavenly father. He's our creator. He's our sustainer, our provider. We're to honor our mother because she is a picture of the church. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 22 to the end of the chapter. She's a picture of the church. And of course, as my mother liked to remind me, our moms went to the jaws of death to bring us life. Can I get an amen? Huh? That's right. Now, the first commandment, this out of all the Ten Commandments, this is the first one in the list that has a promise tied to it, that if we'll do it, God's going to give us something good. Look what it says there in Exodus 20. It says, honor thy father and thy mother, that The result will be thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, he reiterates the same thing. He says, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that the result being thy days may be prolonged and that it may go well with thee. I always tell my kids, listen, if you need to obey your mama, or you'll live a lot longer. You just obey me and you'll live a whole lot longer. That's the promise. But it sets up God's authority structure. When Josh was little, and my kids, each one of them have gone through this phase, they ask, well, wait a minute. Why are you telling me this? Well, because I'm your boss. That's what mama would say to him. Well, who's your boss? Well, daddy's my boss. Well, who's daddy's boss? God's daddy's boss. And he'd go, can I be the boss of the dog? You're the boss of your toys. That's what it is. Can I be the boss over this or that? No. There's an authority structure. And by honoring our parents, we are honoring God who gave us our parents. Now, many children learn to play the ends against the middle when it comes to their children, because chaos is a means of control. If they can create division between mom and dad, then they're actually running the house. That's how come people want so much division in society. If we ever unify, they're in trouble. Satan knows that children are devilish when they manipulate mom and dad. And children, you're never more devilish, like Satan himself, than when you manipulate mom and dad. But you're promised a long life. You're promised that it'll go well. In Ephesians 6, it says, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So the first step of downward spiral into sin is going to be the disobedience of this command, or disobeying your parents. Now, the truth is, a lot of young men won't listen. I know I was that way. We raise our boys to be leaders. All of us do it. We want them to be leaders, leaders in their home, leaders in their family, leaders in society. We want them to lead. So they have a tendency, like me, not to listen. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. See, Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, knew that he would die before Rehoboam would sit on the throne. So he wanted Rehoboam to have his wisdom so he could learn from his dad, even with his dad not being around. Listen to what Proverbs 1 verse 8 says. This is the wisest man who ever lived said, my son, hear the instruction of thy father. Not just listen, but hear it. Let it sink down in there and make a difference. Proverbs 1 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. 4, verse 9 starts with the word for. That means there's a promised result there. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Rules are important. Rules are important. Rules without relationship, though, breed rebellion. So there needs to be equal and more amounts of relationship, but there has to be rules. And a lot of times, young men don't understand. They won't listen. They don't understand why there's rules. And young ladies will do the same thing, and many will lose their virtue because they just don't understand what mom and dad are trying to do. In November 14th of 2005, I cut this article out of the newspaper. An 18-year-old man named David Ludwig charged into his girlfriend's home on November 13th, 2005 at 8 a.m., and shot Michael and Catherine Borden, both 50 years old. Speaking to Kara's girlfriend, her best friend Stephanie, said that Kara and this boy had been dating secretly for a long time, and that her parents forbid it, not because he was a bad kid, but because of the age difference. He was 18 and she was 14. And it turned out they'd been sneaking around, so she showed up Sunday morning at her home somewhere between 6:30 and 7:30 in the morning, and an argument ensued. And at 8 o'clock in the morning, David Ludwig burst through the front door and shot her parents dead in front of her 9-year-old brother, and then proceeded to steal their car and take her with him across state lines. Now listen, teenagers, I get that we seem out of touch, but we didn't pop out of an egg when we were 30. We were teenagers once. And there's a reason why mom and dad put rules in place. Now, maybe this tragedy hasn't happened to you and won't happen to you, praise God. But other foolishness will ensue. That is why there are rules. Maybe this isn't your tragedy, But there are tragedies every day. I get to do funerals for a lot of different families, and I bury teenagers. And I don't know how I lived to be as old as I did, because I wouldn't listen to my parents. And I did a lot of foolish things because I thought they just didn't understand. But you got to understand, God put them in your life, and He knew what they would be like. And He gave them an idea about rules. Rules are necessary because they protect you from foolishness. See, Jesus left us this example. If you take your Bible, go to Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, you'll see Jesus' actual example as a child and a teenager. Did you know that? Jesus Christ was a teenager once, that He grew up as a child in a human home and had little siblings that He had to help the family with. Jesus worked in the family business. He was referred to as a carpenter. Look at Luke chapter 2 and verse 51. Luke 2 and verse number 51. Now, he had just been, his parents misplaced him in Jerusalem at the Passover. It happens. I left Sam at the Chinese restaurant one time. And if you've got multiple kids in the family, it's going to happen to you if you're not careful. But he got left in town there. He's about 12 years old. Do you realize Jesus spent 3 days by himself in Jerusalem at the age of 12 and didn't get into trouble? Didn't get into trouble, didn't get arrested, didn't get beat up, didn't get robbed, didn't get shot, did nothing. No, he went to the house of God and hung out with his father. And when his parents finally found him, look at Luke 2 and verse 51, and he went down with them. Where? He went to Nazareth. He came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. Do you understand that Jesus is the Creator? He knew who he was at 12 years old. He said, why did you look for me? You knew I'd be in my father's house about my father's business. He knew who he was. He didn't come of age and then come to understand he was the Messiah. He knew all along. But yet he had the God who created the world, the God who created Mary and Joseph, submitted himself to a set of parents. And they were not perfect. Because once you start to hear the testimony of their other six kids, you'll understand what I'm saying. All right, he went down, he came to Nazareth, subject unto them. That's the example Christ gave us. That we can be submissive. We can honor our father and our mother on the earth. Now, we break this commandment when we show disrespect for our parents, when we're disobedient to them, and we fail to properly support them. And the thing is, we show disrespect to our Father in heaven when we don't obey this command. It is a sign of the disintegration of the last days, but God gave you a family. The family you have, God gave you that for your living, for your learning, and for a legacy. And the Bible says in Exodus 20 that thy days may be long. Now listen, parents, there are no perfect parents. As I said, God is the perfect parent. He had two kids, and look at the mess they made out of Eden. Take your Bible, go to Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 6. The problem is Satan likes to beat us up, parents. He likes to beat you up with this verse. Look at Proverbs 22, 6. Because you ever ask yourself, how does kids from good Christian homes end up becoming such devilish, hellish people? Well, look at verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Listen to me. A proverb is not a promise. Now, you can claim it as a promise, but trust me, it's a principle. It is a principle. A proverb is a general principle generally applied that brings about a general result most of the time. It is a short sentence based on long experience, but your child has a will of their own. Did you know that? Did you know that your child is a little sinner? Our nursery has some little sinners in there. Oh, they're adorable. Oh, they're cute. I love little monkeys like just as much as you do. But the truth is, they're little sinners with little sinful natures. And they have a will of their own. So when it says to train them, we need to train them. You can't set goals for your kids. Why? Because you can't control them. You need to have desires for your kids. This is what I want for you. But you can't make them want it back. All you can do is train them. Do you understand how training works? We train ourselves all different ways. Let me prove to you. I did it in Sunday school. Let's see if it works up here. It's kind of guttural, but I'll use it because it's fun. Just a small town girl living world. She took the midnight to an end. We train ourselves in all kinds of crazy, foolish things all the time. I don't care where you are. I don't care what you're doing. And I don't care who you're with. But when your jam comes on, you're looking at the president right now. I'm going to talk to the president or the chief of staff. And you're just kind of, you can't help it. You can't help it. You train yourself. We got this lullaby CD from Johnson & Johnson when Josh was a baby. And we played it in his room until we had another baby. And then we played it in their room. And we put those kids to sleep every single night with the lullaby CD. So 2 years ago, we were on our way to Daytona Beach, Florida. And we got in that old brown truck of ours. And we saw that CD and went, what? This is crazy. And they're like, oh, yeah, I remember that CD. We popped it in within 10 minutes. All four of those monkeys were asleep. We train our kids all the time. The question is, are we training them in the right things, in the right way? Are we intentionally walking them through training? Because listen, this is more caught than it is taught. They do not become what we say, they become what we are. And I, like I said, I don't have goals for my kids. It's wrong for me to do that because they have a will of their own, but I have desires for them. I can have goals for myself because I'm in control of me. So, how do I be a parent worth honoring? How do I do that? Number one, by being legit, by being a real Christian. You know, your kids can spot a fake. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4, listen to what it says. Ephesians 6, 4, the Bible says, "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." It also says this in Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Why? Because they get discouraged, it says in Colossians 3:21. Now, the word nurture, if you didn't use it this week, means to introduce them to that which nourishes. You're to introduce them to that which promotes growth, to educate them in that which is good for them, and instruct them how to use that which is good for them. Now, the word admonition, if you didn't use it this week, means gentle reproof, counseling against fault, instructing them in their duties, cautioning them, using every good, bad example you can find, and giving them direction, because devotion without direction leads to disaster. You can be behind them and supportive all you want, but if you don't give them direction, they're going to run around like a BB in a boxcar. They're just going to bounce around with whatever life throws at them. So teach them the Bible by your good example, because it's more caught than it is taught. Now, in the Bible, especially in the book of Proverbs, you've got three basic words that I want to introduce you. Number one, there's knowledge. You're to give your kids knowledge. That's the what in life. That's knowing raw information. Then you take that knowledge and you teach them wisdom. The wisdom is how. How do I apply the knowledge that I have? I take the what and I learn how to use it. But if you stop there, your kids are never going to fully mature like they should, because it's one thing to teach them what and then how, but you have to teach them the third one, knowledge, wisdom. You have to teach them understanding. That's the why. You got to teach them why. In my youth department down in El Paso, we would explain why God created rules. And I would pull out clippings, you know, from the newspaper like this. I'd pull them out. We have a rule. You have a rule here in America. You're not allowed to drink till you're 21. Why? Because you're not able to make those kind of adult decisions. You're too young. No Christian ought to drink, all right? You can get that on record, all right? I don't think anybody should. But that's my opinion, and 142 references in the Bible to the evils of strong drink kind of back up that opinion. But number two, it was his birthday. He was 18. And his girlfriend made him a cake, left it on the counter. And then he and her two brothers went to Juarez. It's just across the Rio Grande. And they go clubbing, because down there, you can drink at 12. It doesn't matter. As long as you got money, they'll serve you. And they go clubbing. And they came across the America's Bridge, and they got it down on one of those frontage roads down in El Paso along I-10. And they're buzzing along in that convertible Mitsubishi Eclipse. And he zigs when he should have zagged. He hit the Brock wall. And he goes right up underneath the overpass and wedges that Mitsubishi right up underneath between two cross members. and the car breaks into flames. And two Border Patrol agents heard the crash, ran down, cut the back of the car convertible open, and pulled the two boys out who died on the ground. But the girl and the boyfriend burned to death. Why? Because they weren't ready to handle what life was throwing at them. There are rules, and the rules are for our good. Anytime God says, thou shalt, he's saying, help yourself to happiness. But anytime God says, thou shalt not, he's saying, I don't want you to hurt yourself in this area. There is a reason for the rules. Two kids, they had open campus there in El Paso at the high schools. So two kids decided they were going to skip school at lunch because you could leave without signing out. And they went up on Trans Mountain Way and crawled up there by the elephant. They have this rock formation, looks like an elephant. It's really cool. And they decided they'd smoke a joint. Well, you know what happens when two teenagers who are high get alone? They do stupid things. And the last words any idiot says is, watch this. And the one boy says, I'm going to jump that crevasse. And he jumps and he misses. He falls down 30, 40 feet into this crevice. Well, the other boy's so high, by the time he gets down to Circle K there at Trans Mountain and Patriot Freeway, he's kind of come to himself, kind of sobered up, sweated all out of his system, and can't remember how to take the officials back up there to find his buddy. You know, God puts rules in your life for a reason. And when you and I as parents cross those rules, we provoke our children to anger and we discourage them to follow God. That's why. So be legit. Be a parent who not only knows what the truth is and how to apply it, but actually does it because he knows why and he teaches their kids why. Have your children heard you tell them how you got saved? Can they stand at your casket and say, I know Daddy's in heaven because it was on this day he gave his heart to Jesus Christ? You going to make me come up with something nice to say at your funeral because you never told your kids when you got saved? Have your children heard you pray and call their name out loud? Have your children heard you read the Bible to them? 2 Timothy 3:15. And that from a child that was known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. They can grasp it. Read it to them. Have your children seen you give your tithes and offerings? Have you given them offering, and have they seen you put your offering in the plate? Have your children see you go to the altar and confess your sins and get right with God? In El Paso, we had these wooden altars that were in front of the steps, and people would surround at every service and pray, and little Josh and Sam, when they were little, would walk up and run their fingers through the tears on the altar. Have your kids seen you use the altar? Have your children seen you give out a gospel tract and invite somebody to church? Have your children heard you tell someone how to be saved? Have they ever seen you do that? Have your children heard you tell someone else how much your church means to you? Speak positively about your church, y'all. Don't speak negatively. I'm a sinner. I get it. I make mistakes. I do dumb things. I say dumb things. I forget to do things when I should do things, and I do things when I shouldn't do things. And sometimes I try to help, and I end up making a mess out of things. But speak positively about your church, or your children never will. They're going to become what you are. They're not going to become what you say. Speak positively about the church. Have your children heard you tell each other how much you love your spouse? Have they watched you hug and kiss? Now, I'm not talking about make out, but do you show affection? Well, that's just not who I am. Well, you better change it then. You know, I was raised in a Methodist church, and I didn't hug my dad until I was 13, and that's because the evangelist of the church said, okay, Stan, now hug your dad. I didn't tell my daddy I loved him until I got saved. And the last words my daddy heard me say as I walked out the door to go candidate as a youth pastor was, Daddy, I love you. And the last words on earth I heard him say was, Son, I love you too. 2 days later, he died of stroke. Well, that's just not who I am. You know what's crazy? I will counsel military guys who will kick in the front door of an ISIS stronghold and fight some Taliban guy to the death with a K-bar. But they won't sit down and talk to their wife. Now, that's just messed up. You want to be a parent worth honoring, then be legitimate. Be real. Be a real Christian. When you make a mistake, say you're sorry. When you mess up, make it right God's way. Make it right. Repent and do right. Because listen, parents, listen, kids can spot a fake. And you don't got to be perfect. So they're going to learn more from your living right, you know, doing it God's way, than they are any phony perfection you try to put forth. Have your children ever heard you express gratitude for what God's doing in your life? Have you been able to say, look what God did? Oh man, God is so good. Have you shared with them the miracles? Have they heard you give testimony in church? Have they ever heard you raise your hand and say, I got one preacher. God's been good to me this week. Let me tell you what God did this week. Because you shared it with them first. Be legit. Number two, by loving them. Love them. Titus 2:4 says that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. Loving your kids is not giving them all they want. It's giving them what they need. You do teach them by hugging them. You know, when the prodigal son came back, the father ran to him and hugged him and kissed him. And Jesus gave it his approval. How long has it been since you hugged and kissed your kids? Don't let Hollywood tell you what is acceptable physical touch. Affection is not weakness. Hug your daughters. Tell them you love them. Let them know how much you appreciate the fact that they're your daughter. Speak their love language. Fill their love tank, and they won't need a boy to fulfill them. And if you're a single mom in here, you can do the same thing. Love them, hug them, let them know they're everything to you. Bless them. Speak words of blessing over them as Isaac did Jacob in Genesis 48. Comfort them. Psalm 103, like a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. Don't laugh at their pain. Puppy love's real to them. And it's just as much of a death of a relationship as a marriage to them. And because they'll never be the same because they gave their heart away. Don't laugh at their pain. Don't laugh when the doll breaks. Don't make light of the fact that the turtle died. We've had funerals for turtles. We had a funeral for Mackie, our big dog. We all grieved last year when Charlie died. And don't laugh at their pain because it's real. Love them. Comfort them. Listen to them. How long has it been since your kid finished a sentence? Now, I realize that teenagers don't typically like to talk until 12:45. After you've been working all day and you're tired and you're about to doze off, that's when they come in and they want to talk to you. I get it. So talk to them. Give them time. Teach your kids the basic things. I messed up here, man. Y'all, I messed up. I let my wife teach my kids how to tie their shoes. Oh, my gosh, it takes forever. You make a bow. You make another bow. And then you bunny ear them. No. You pinch the bow. The rabbit goes around the tree and in the hole, and you're done. Teach them the basic things. Sit down with them. Go over it and over it and over it. Take the time. Because encouragement is twice as powerful than praise. See, praise, we have a tendency to praise performance. We need to be legit, we need to be loving, but we also need to be lifting. We need to be encouraging. Don't praise performance. Don't just praise when they look nice. Don't just praise because they got an A. Praise their character. Way to work hard. Way to put in that extra effort. I really appreciate you sticking to it. Way to follow through. You not only did a good job, but you got up and did it without me asking you. Praise character, because their relationship to you should not be based on an annual performance review. It's based on who they are. And lastly, listen, you need to limit your kids. You need to have firm restrictions in place. Because firm rules that never change set children free. See, that's what obedience is. Obedience is the ability to be creative within divinely appointed boundaries. That's what obedience is. And when the boundaries move, a child has no stability and no security. In 1 Samuel 3 and verse 13, God is speaking to Samuel about Eli, who he works for, the high priest. The Bible says, For I, God, told Eli, that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows. He knows what's going on in his house. Because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. Well, preacher, how can I have rules in my house when I... Exactly. Well, I feel like a hypocrite. Well, then stop whatever you're doing that's sinful. Stop it. Come on, we all know where our problems are. Nobody's got to tell us. We already know. Well, I just feel like I can't because I don't. Why not? You should. If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. So if it's not good for them, stop. Had a man come in my office, beat on the table one day and said, you taught a lesson on how smoking's wrong. Well, I bless God, my grandpa always smoked a cigar, and bless God, he was the godliest man I know. I said, how old's your boy? Well, he's 5. When's he gets his first Garcia Vega? When are you going to take him down to the cigar shop and get his first? Teach him now to cut the end and chew it. Real men cut the end off and chew the piece. They don't just throw it away. That's for sissy. And he just looked at me. Look, it's good for the goose, good for the gander. You don't want that kid smoking? Don't. Wow, got quiet in here. I don't care if marijuana is legalized. Do you understand? People use beverage alcohol like it's a recreational drug. I got to tell you, your kids are going to take whatever you do to an excess. And if you think I'm crazy, you think back over what your parents used to do and how what you did with it. And it won't take long. Listen, train them. Instruct them in God's word by you living it. Look, I've failed in some areas with my kids. I'm not perfect. And part of the struggles they have in life is because I failed to train them, and I trained to be proactive. I failed to be proactive. I failed to put forth the effort. And there were many a nights when I was too busy or too tired to listen. So I'm talking from experience. Doesn't make it right. Just means it happened. Well, I got saved late in life, Pastor. It's not too late. It's not too late to go to them and say, I'm sorry. You know, I should have done things differently. I love you. You're important to me. I should have done things differently. I love you, and this is what I should have done. You say, well, my kids are grown and out of the house. You're not too, listen, you can be a godly grandpa. You can be a godly grandma. You can be a godly aunt or a godly uncle. You can be that older cousin who does right and makes a difference because they're watching. You can do it. Train them in God's word. The Bible says, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, Deuteronomy 4:9, Deuteronomy 6:7, and thou shalt teach them. These are the words God commanded us. Teach them diligently unto thy children when thou shalt talk of them, when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down and when thou risest up. Instruct them in God's judgments. Instruct them in God's miraculous works, Exodus chapter 10 and verse 2. Psalm 78 says, we will not hide them from their children, showing to generation to come the praises of the Lord. Teach them to obey God's word by your example, because it's caught, not taught. It starts by knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you died today, are you sure you go to heaven? No greater testimony can be for your children than for you to walk the aisle and go, it's time for me to be saved. It's time for me to quit posing like Judas Iscariot. I need to stop posing and be the real thing. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. We can honor God by honoring our parents and being honorable. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Isn't it time, moms and dads, isn't it time we get legit? Isn't it time? Our Father and our God, you are the perfect Father. And Father, we as sinners have made a mess of things. And Father, we know that you have promised to teach us, to grow us, if we'll just submit to you. Father, help us to be the parents worth honoring. Help us to be honorable children, children who honor their parents by raising our kids right. And Father, let us ultimately honor you by the life choices we make. May you be glorified. And then, Father, we ask if there's one among us today that is yet to give their self to Christ fully, they're playing the game. I ask God you'd convict them of their sin and convince them of their need of a Savior and to be saved. But for the rest of us, oh God, I pray, let today be the reset, the restart for every day following, that our example would be you to our kids, in Jesus' name. Amen. The altar is open, brothers and sisters. Let us come to Christ afresh and anew and give our lives to Him. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart, Lord. You can be that godly influence in your home. Even if your kids are grown, you can be that godly influence. It's never too late. It's never too late to start. It's never too late to restart. If we let things slip, it's never too late to step back and go, I've been messing up. I'm going to do right. come. I'll pray with you. I'm not perfect. I am not perfect. I'll pray with you. I'm just one sinner trying to help another sinner. I'm just one beggar trying to tell another beggar where the bread's at. We're trying our best. But I think it works better when we try together. Won't you come? Do you see the fruit of righteousness in your kids? Do you see the evidence that they are saved? You live with them. There should be some evidence. Don't fool yourself. Just be objective. Are you saved? Truly? Are you that new creature? 2 Corinthians 5 talks about it. You remember when you got saved? You remember how you got saved? You can answer those questions. I'm saved because I was saved on this date because I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Then let's start modeling it to those that follow. Let us model it. Teenagers, you need to go back to your mom and apologize. Your dad, apologize. You need to say something. It's never too late. Tell them you love them. The 10 words that will free your soul from guilt. I was wrong. I am sorry. Will you forgive me? Those 10 words will free you. It'll free you from the guilt and the remorse and the things that have been following you around that you can't get free from. I am sorry. They're just 10 little words. I am sorry. I was wrong. Will you forgive me? Freedom is yours. Freedom is yours. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God is dealing with hearts today. If God's not speaking to you, then take a minute and ask Him why. The Word of God has been preached. The sense of it has been conveyed. The Holy Spirit alone can make all the sense in the world if you'll let Him. Why is He not speaking? Will you forgive me? Those 10 words restores relationships and fellowship, heals hurts and wounds, builds a future that cannot be destroyed. As we tarry for these, speak what is true. The altar is open for you. You are more than enough. You are here. You are love. You are hope. You are grace. You're all I have. You're everything. God is extending this invitation for you. Here's my life, Lord. My life, Lord. Here's my life, Lord. Speak what is true. Every head bowed, every eye closed as we continue to tarry for these. This is an opportunity for you. God is touching. Submit to Him today. Here's my heart, Lord. Here's my heart. It's never too late. Never. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As God deals with people's hearts. Amen.
I am loved, I am pure, I am life, I can breathe, I am here, I am free. 'Cause you are strong, you are sure, you are life, you endure.
How about you?
You are light.
My heart, Lord. We're going to end this invitation. The opportunity for you is still available. The altar is still open. Let God speak. Then respond. There's still time.
Speak what is true. Speak what is true.
Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking through your word. Thank you, God, for being true. And Father, we recognize that it cuts, and God, that we have fallen short terribly as parents and as children. And Father, it is our desire to make things right. Father, we know that if we honor our family, we honor our parents, we honor you. If we're honorable, God, if we're people who can be honored because we walk in your ways, because we model your truth and we exhibit your character because you're living in us, we know, God, that our children will have an example that they can follow as they grow. Father, let us be that example. Let us be that representation of you in their life that is consistent and true, that follows the truth and lives the truth. And Father, we pray for this next generation. God, we as a nation have sinned. We of a nation, Father, have sinned. And God, we're sorry. We have allowed corruption and immorality to rule our nation, God, and we are sorry. And as your people, we call upon you today to help us, God, to lead forward in righteousness, starting with our personal self and then with our families. And then as a community, coming together to support one another, to love one another, to help meet each other's needs, and to take your gospel to the darkest reaches of our earth, starting here in our own neighborhood. Forgive us of our sin, O Father. Stay thy hand of judgment that we might live in thy way, and God, that you might glorify yourself in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. May I look this way.